Welcome to the sound of one man clapping. I am the one man coming to you live from the bunker. This is a podcast about board gaming culture, and growing old gracelessly. And today I'm joined by a much younger, much more graceful man. The greatest rules explainer in the land. The man, the myth, the legend, Super Trooper. Welcome to the show, Super Trooper.
Thanks for having me, James.
It is absolute a pleasure. And this came about because Super Trooper mentioned to me all of 19 hours ago that he might be interested in doing a top 10 show. And so I put some thought into it. Not a lot, because, you know, I just kind of pull this stuff out of my ass at the last minute. But we did think about it. We went back and forth a bit. And here he is. And we are going to do a top 10 show. It's a top 10 show that's a little bit different, because nobody wants to listen to my top 10 games. They're the same top 10 games every year. And Super Troopers don't move a lot. Spoiler alert. So we're doing something a little different. But before we get into it, I just want him to introduce himself a little bit. So I met Super Trooper many, many years ago. Our daughters are besties, and we quickly became fast friends. I got invited to the table. You know the story. It's been told 3 or 4 times already. I'm not going to rehash it. But I want him to talk a bit about himself, his gaming history, what type of gamer he is, blah, blah, blah. He'll probably talk about Reiner Knizia for 30 minutes, and I'll be back.
So, very briefly, I was a war gamer growing up, playing Warhammer and those kind of things, like a lot of kids back then. And then when I got into university, I didn't have the time to do that, so I end up transitioning to board games through Coop, who introduced me to a few games. And then after that, a few more games and a few more games, and before you know it, I've got a garage full and a game group every week.
And now here we are in the most zen place known to man, the bunker, which Super Trooper has already announced that if and when I should die before him, which I probably will because I'm older and fatter, that he would like this to become sovereign Super Trooper land. I've mentioned it to the Fox. She's not a huge fan, but in the end, she doesn't want the games. So we'll see. On with the show. So here we are, we're rolling with our top 10. Top of the episode, this is called Token Aspirations, which is our shelfie goals for 2025. We're going to present to you our top 10 games that we are absolutely gagging to get to the table next year. And we're going to talk about maybe why they haven't got to the table, why we desperately want them to the table, what we love about them. There'll be a bit of senseless banter back and forth. We do, fair disclosure, we have a glass of, I won't call it mid-tier, it's probably a little higher than mid-tier Shiraz with us, so it might get a little more garrulous as the night goes on. And there it is. So first up, I want to talk to you about what rules we set, because when I called Super Trooper, I said, let's do this. Let's do the top 10 games that we want to get to the table in 2025, and it's no rules. You can build your list however you like. I'll build my list however I like, but I will say, this is a blind, we're going in blind. I don't know what's on his list, he doesn't know what's on my list. I maybe think there might be one game that overlaps, and I think that's going to be great, because while we play a lot of the same games, although Super Trooper was the, inorable legend that introduced me to board games 4.5 years ago, our taste, while it aligns in a lot of ways, it departs in a lot of ways as well, and so I'm really keen to see where this diverges, knowing full well that there's 20 games we're going to talk about today that I'm going to get to play next year one way or another. So, you want to go first to talk about how you built your list, what your metrics were, and what your plan was, and what brought, it was how you got here with the list?
It was quite easy. I first up looked at my shelf of shame and said, is there anything there I'm desperate to play? And those went into the list. But there was also a few of the games that we have played, but I have not played in a long time for various reasons, and they went onto the list as well.
Yeah, mine was similar. I use the loving phrase shelf of firsts now. You know, I'm an enlightened individual. But I did look at my shelf of firsts and say, what am I absolutely desperate to play? And one of the things I was really clear with myself to admit is there's a ton of games I know we're going to play next year. I've got crowdfunding coming in. I've got games that are on the shelf. I'm staring at an Undaunted 2200 Callisto over there. And I know one way or another that is going to be on the table before the end of the year. I've got all kinds of games that I know, because of the cult of the new, that they're going to come to the forefront. But I tried to pick games that I've wanted to play for quite some time that either, as you said, they're on the shelf of firsts, or they're games that we love, and I really think they've been undone by just the aggressive pace at which games come out. And so the things that I'm dying to get on the table for a multitude of reasons. There's a really lovely spread in my list of games we've played, games we haven't played, games, and there's quite a few in there that I've only played solo. And so I'm so keen to get them to the table multiplayer. And that's where it came from. And here's the evolution. So over to you, Super Trooper. Your number 10 game that you are dying to get to the table in 2025.
Number 10 was a very, very easy one. It was the first one that came to mind, but it's not the highest. Number 10 for me is Dominion.
Ha ha.
Now, you're laughing there because...
No, I'm not.
Because you know why Dominion
is
on the list.
I do. So talk us through why it's on the list.
Dominion, it was one of the first games I got. I started playing it with Dusty a long, long time ago. And I have so many expansions for it. It's in two big storage boxes. But unfortunately, I'm in the middle of re-sleeving it. And that has been a bit of a process. So taking it out of some old, very cheap sleeves and re-sleeving it into some new sleeves. And I've been delaying doing that project. So Dominion has been sitting in an unplayable state for the last few months.
And you, what I love about your collection of Dominion, because, you know, fair confession time, I played Dominion with Dusty and Super Trooper 4 years ago, and I went, this is bonkers, so good. Never played a deck builder before. It was like, well, this is great. I went out and bought Dominion, two or three expansions, and I played it. I played it lots, and then I went, you're a fucking idiot. Super Trooper owns everything. What are you doing? Again, it was the cult of the new. I just fallen into the rabbit hole. And there are two or three games that we played in the very early stages, and Dominion was one of them that I just raced out and went, let's have it. Because at that time, Lou, my eldest daughter, was more board gaming aged, and she got to the table a lot. And I played a lot of Dominion, but Super Trooper owns all the fun stuff. I think Plunder's my favorite that you've got.
That's the newest.
That's the pirate theme one. But when it's 5,500 cards that have to be re-sleeved, I can understand why it's not on the table.
But I think once it does get onto the table, we'll be playing half a dozen games in one session. Like, that's how quick we get through it.
It's probably undercooking it. Probably 8 or 10 once it's sleeved. I'm happy to do a half day of Dominion. Awesome. Well, my number 10, it's a little bit of a cheat, if I'm being honest, because it's not one game, it's 5 games. And I thought I'd get the cheat out early because, you know, I'm a cheater. I cheated at Arx. I've cheated at Arc Nova. Something about Arx. I cheated Arc Nova really badly once by playing the wrong map and high-fiving because I won. I didn't win, spoiler alert, because I played a map that I shouldn't have played, and I cheated at Arx. But this is only a little bit of a cheat in that 2025, I want to play all my Lacerdas. Now, fair disclosure, we literally just finished a game of Inventions, Evolution of Ideas, which I love. Doesn't count. It's not 2025. So it goes back on the list for next year. I want to play all my Lacerdas. I own 4. I own Weather Machine, Lisboa, Inventions, and Vinyos the Deluxe Edition is on my shelf of firsts. I do have Speakeasy coming next year. I don't have a whole lot of confidence it's going to be here before the end of the year. But I want to play all my Lacerdas. I'd like to say a couple of times, but if I get them in at least once, that will make me very happy. Why don't they get the table? Because it's a Lacerda. You know, it causes some people mortal terror crossed with brain pain. They're not even that big a deal to set up and put away. I mean, they are a little bit, you know, talking about, you know, 10, 15 minutes to put it out, sometimes longer to put it away. But they are the kind of thing that if you're not playing them regularly, it's a reteach from the ground up. And luckily, we, Super Trooper and I, played Inventions. It was about 3 months ago, probably.
Just before PlayCon.
Just before PlayCon. We played Inventions. And it's one of the most notable plays of the last 3 months, largely because Super Trooper went home and went, yeah, the reason I lost that game is because I had COVID. And so today was the rematch. Spoiler alert, he still lost, but not by much. So I want to win. I want to play all my Lacerdas next year, which is 4, maybe 5. And I reckon we can get that done.
Does that include all of my Lacerdas that you don't own?
I will add that to the list because the Lacerdas you own that I haven't played include the Gallerist and Escape Plan.
Correct.
I haven't played those. You have On Mars and Kanban as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have the expansion for On Mars? Do you have the Alien Invasion? Because that's supposed to be really great. I haven't played that, and I do like On Mars. I'm not a massive fan of Kanban, but I will play it again, largely because Super Trooper has the little metal cars, and I can go vroom vroom around the table when it's not my turn. I don't hate Kanban, but it's probably my least favorite. But yes, I will throw all of yours on the list. All of this is going to go into a goal for me for next year in BG Stats, and so that will be 8 Lacerdas. Maybe 9 of Speakeasy arrives. Done deal. Back to you for number 9.
Well, funnily enough, number 9 is my cheat.
Uh-huh.
And it's even more of a cheat than yours. Because it is broader, but also a little bit more specific. And that is a whole bunch of my dual games.
Ah, okay, tell me more. With
you. So games that we haven't played, and some that I've played, but you haven't played. So we've got things like Seven Wonders Duel.
Yes.
Duelosaurus.
Duelosaurus? I don't even know Duelosaurus, but I love it by the name.
It's the two-player version of Dinosaur Island.
Okay, so I love Dinosaur Island. I think Dinosaur Island is wild fun, and I'm in. Yep.
It's a I split, you choose dice rolling game.
All right.
And then there are some big two-player games, like big ones.
Okay.
Ones that you've never played, like Twilight Struggle.
I have not played Twilight Struggle. That's related to Twilight Imperium vaguely, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's not. Except for the word Twilight.
Oh, okay, right.
And neither of them have vampires.
Those are Twilight Imperium Roll 'em Right or something. Maybe I'm delusional.
That is a thing that exists. It is a thing. Not Twilight Struggle.
Okay.
Including one you might not have heard of called Hannibal and Hamilcar.
Okay, no, I have not.
Which is sort of like Twilight Struggle, but it's Romans versus Carthaginians, and if there's anything a bloke over 40 likes, it's ancient Roman history.
Yes, it's not been discussed on this show before, but it is one of Super Trooper's great passions, is the Byzantine Empire.
And another one, which I think you'll definitely like, is Star Wars Rebellion.
Okay, so yes, I have not played Star Wars Rebellion. I am absolutely familiar with Star Wars Rebellion as it sits as a concept, as an entity, and 100%, you know I'm in. That's great.
So there's my cheat. My number 9 being half a dozen games.
Half a dozen games?
More than your Lacerda's.
I don't... Well, actually, Lacerda's ended up topping out at 9, I think, for my count, but...
Well, we can add more two-player games to that list.
All right. So my number 9 for my Token Aspirations is a game that I started, I want to say, maybe 2 years ago with The Fox and Lou. And for a number of reasons, we drifted away from it, largely with Lou sort of growing up. She was 15 when we started, and by the time we sort of put it away, she was 17, 18. I don't know. They age so fast, and then they tell you to get stuffed, and you kind of move on. But it's one that the Fox and I love. We have since played it with just the two of us, without Lou at the table. I think Lou's really keen to get back into it, and that's I really want to finish Pandemic Legacy Season 1. Absolutely loved every minute of Pandemic Legacy Season 1. It was one that Super Trooper and the whole team said, look, you got to play it. It's one of those games that it's a must play in your gaming career. And we were playing it, oh, this is fun. No spoilers, but you get to about episode 4 and you go, what the farquad? Should have seen it coming. Probably could have seen it coming. Totally didn't see it coming. And it is fantastic. And I think we're up to September. So it's not like we've got tons and tons to go. I think there's 4 more... It's a calendar year.
Yeah, so there's 12 games which you might play once or twice, depending on
how many we lose.
Yes.
So I think we're in September, so if we have a good run, we might have 3 more games. We probably have 5 or 6 left. I know the Fox is super keen. The Fox, interestingly, for how much Pandemic Legacy sort of ramps up in the later part of the game, she really liked it. She really, really liked the thought and the fact that you could sit and we could really talk about it. There was no time pressure. It's a co-op game, so she could meta out her moves, so to speak. And so that's on my list. 2025, we're going to finish Pandemic Legacy Season 1. 100% guaranteed.
Do you have Season 2 on the shelf?
I have Season 2 on the shelf. So yes, we have Season 2. And we will probably play that just the Fox and I, or you can join us at the table. I know you've already played you've played them all. Season 2 and Season 0.
Yep.
Yeah, so you're more than welcome to join us. You know, the more the merrier. Super Trooper's very good at refraining with spoilers. But Season 1, Pandemic Legacy, is my number 8.
So, my number 8 is my...
Sorry, that was my number 9. Apologies.
Sorry, yes.
Yes, but back it up. That was my number 9. So we're on to you for number 8.
My number 8 is my event game that we usually play once a year. But for the last 2 years, for various reasons, we've not been able to play.
I know exactly what this is.
And this usually comes with a culinary theme every year. We host Schnocktoberfest, where we eat schnitzel in October. But the first half of the day, we always play a giant game of Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh.
And both this year and last year, we missed out. Various people, I think, had COVID or other things on, and we didn't get to play Battlestar. But we got to eat schnitzel.
We got to eat schnitzel. Schnitzel, chicken livers, schnitzel. We schnitzeled a whole wheel of camembert, I think, didn't we? We crumbed a whole wheel of camembert.
There was a couple of wheels of cheese that
we schnitzeled. Yeah, wheels of cheese. I mean, we put crumbs on anything, we call it a schnitzel. We could have schnitzeled a whole cat. I mean, and it's delicious.
We do play Will at Schnitzel.
We do. Willet Schnitzel is actually the game of the day. But Battlestar Galactica, I think I've only played once first year you played.
That was correct.
And I remember I was Starbuck and I spent 9/10 of it in the brig. But I still had a blast. I had a blast because, one, I'm a mad Battlestar fan. I love Battlestar. And I can't, for some reason, get my kids into Battlestar. The Peanuts, my last great hope to get into Battlestar. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can actually remember the game and the way it evolved. And I think Martha was playing Colonel Ty. Martha was playing Colonel Ty, I think, on the day. But I remember it well. And I remember circling around BSG-1 with Cylons on my tail. And Coop... Is Coop always the Cylon in the end?
Oh, he always acts like he is, whether he is or not.
Yeah. Battlestar, I can't wait.
It was one of the first games that got me into the modern board gaming hobby, and I do not think it's the best game of all time. I don't think it's even the best social deduction game because of its length, but that's why it's an event game that we play once a year. We dedicate a morning after lunch to it as well. And some great memories from that game. And it's been a while.
100%. Can't wait. So great pick for number 8. My number 8 is a game that I bought for a number of reasons. One, it's by a publisher that I've never played. It's a splotter game. I've never played a splotter game. Splotters have a reputation for being simple on the surface and diabolical underneath. This particular game speaks to me in a number of ways, largely because at one point in my evolution and career, I owned a number of burger restaurants. But I love the way the gameplay looks. It's a game that I have been gagging to play since I probably bought it, I want to say, 1.5-2 years ago. I managed to get a great price. It was on sale because splotter games are known for being wickedly expensive. I think it's 3 guys in a garage hand assembling them and sending them all around the world. And that is Food Chain Magnate. Food Chain Magnate is a game that I have watched plays of. If you ask me to play it now, I'm not ready. I've got to go read about it, but I've watched plays of. And the card interplay mixed with the dynamic market, which is what gets me in that, is that you could be building out and building out and you're building burgers and milkshakes and burgers and milkshakes, and then some mofo at the table does one or two things, and all of a sudden no one gives a shit about burgers and milkshakes. They all want chicken and pickles or whatever the icons are, and all of a sudden you've backed yourself into a corner with burgers and milkshakes. It's not mean, but it looks fantastic. It's a perennial favorite for a lot of reasons. Have you played Food Chain Magnate?
I have not, and as much as I've heard so much about it from all the different content creators, I have no idea how the game is played. No concept of it. I don't know if it's a worker placement. I don't know if it's an auction game. I don't know anything about it, except that it's divisive.
It is divisive. People love it, or they want to burn it for warmth. I am going to play Food Chain Magnate come hell or high water in 2025 because I love the idea of it. Number 8 for me, Food Chain Magnate. For a number of reasons. Over to you, Super Trooper, for number 7.
Number 7 is My Island.
Aha! Okay.
I was able to get a very good deal on this through...
I didn't know you'd picked up a copy of My
Island. Yeah, it was on sale and I had a few Bezos bucks stashed away and was able to get it. And the reason this is on the list is I was able to play through My City with Buttercup and the Bubble. And they loved it. They loved it.
Spoiler alert, it's Beelzebubble on the show.
Beelzebubble?
Beelzebubble.
No, that's too long and hard to say. But, so I got that. It's sitting down there. The bubble's seen it. And, she's really looking forward to playing it. So that'll be in 2025.
Well, as the clappers would know, the Fox and I are coming to the end of our My City campaign. We have also really enjoyed it. I'm not surprised the Fox enjoyed it because, you know, it's a bit like Tetris without the stress. But at the same time, it gets more and more stressful as the game goes on and as the rules evolve and come out. It's not that it gets stressful. It gets a tiny bit calico-y, but not so much that I want to stab myself in the eye holes. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on My City. I have heard really fun things about it. I won't say I've heard mixed or bad things about it, but I've heard some frustrations about the late game, that the late game sometimes gets... It's gone a little too off the deep end with some of the stuff, but I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, I think the Doctor might have been too busy designing 5 other games while he was designing
by
the
lunchtime.
Last few chapters.
Yeah. My Island. Awesome. My number 7. Okay, so number seven is a game that I have only played solo. It is a game that I absolutely adored solo. I will be honest, the solo game it didn't nearly break me, but it took me a long time to get my head around, not because the solo is so complicated, but the game itself is complicated. It has one of the most gorgeous presentations. It's spoiler alert, it's a Mind Clash game. You know, I'm a bit of a Mind Clash whore. I love Mind Clash games. It is a big, sprawling game set in the steampunk universe. I love, love, love movies like The Prestige. Great, great movie. Gritty, dark, people cutting off parts of their own body to get the tricks to work. My number seven is Tricerion. So Tricerion, have you played Tricerion?
I've played it once many years ago.
And do you recall your Tricerion experience?
I enjoyed it.
Yep.
And I know you're keen to play it with the expansion.
I have played with the expansion solo. Yes. I've played with Dalguard's Academy. And Dalguard's Academy adds a dimension to it that is much akin to Fractures of Time for Anachrony. It doesn't dilute the game. It doesn't make the game harder to grok. It adds an aspect to the game that is welcome and that expands your capability. Much like Marine Worlds expanded the game without diluting what you were choosing to do. Or say some of the Dune Imperium expansions, mm-hmm. which give you more choices, but don't dilute the tightness of the board. Tricerion with the Dalguard's Academy is fantastic. The art is fantastic. You have 10 zillion meeples, and the meeples all do. You've got teeny tiny meeples, and you've got specialized meeples, and meeples can only go to certain parts of the board. But one of the things I really liked about Tricerion is, although it's work placement, and you can get blocked out of spaces, it doesn't ruin your strategy. It doesn't even really delay it. You're always able to pivot just that tiny bit, particularly with the Dalguard's Academy. And the Dalguard's Academy allows you to take tricks that you've built and sell them to other magicians. So you can no longer perform the trick, but you get other really awesome bonuses. So you've got these tricks that you've built up that are top secret and worth all kinds of points when you perform them. Or you can go, I'll send that to the Academy. And also, it's a resource. Huzzah! So I love it. I can't wait to get to the table. I have only played it solo. I probably wouldn't want to play it with more than three people because I think otherwise it's going to be a grind of downtime, particularly if certain individuals are at the table. And yeah, Dusty, we love you, but I'm not sure that I'm brave enough to bring that to the table when you're here, but I'm game. I wouldn't play with more than three people, I don't think, but I cannot wait, and that is going to be on my 2025 list, 100%. Over to you for number six.
Number six. We're staying on theme from my number seven.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on the island.
We're still on the island,
but
are we?
This one is full of spirits. It's Spirit Island.
Spirit Island is, I think, my number three game of all time.
So you were very generous and bought this for me a few years ago.
I did.
And I've said, I'll play this after you teach it to me.
Yep.
And you've not taught it to me yet, so...
You know...
That's on you.
It's on me. I'll take that. Spirit Island, interestingly, it seems like it's a bear to teach because there's a lot going on. And the way Spirit Island behaves on the table is not like most other games in Euros. It's got I won't say an unnatural, but it's got an unusual push and pull in that each spirit has fast powers and slow powers, and they happen at different times. And which powers you decide to play in a turn will meaningfully impact how the board state changes. And the board state can change absolutely. It can flip 180 from one turn to the next. And what's great about Spirit Island, it's all open information. You know, we're around the table, you're planning, you're like, I can bring a tidal wave in and wipe all these mofos out. Can you shove them to the, you know, maybe I can actually. And so you can actually meta it all out. Look, I say that, I only play Spirit Island solo, but I have played three-handed. That's as far as I could push myself with Spirit Island, three-handed. And I think my sweet spot is actually two. So I would be only too delighted to teach you Spirit Island. I love Spirit Island. If it's not my number three, it's certainly in my top five. I know we're not doing that list. We're doing a totally different list. But Spirit Island is a great game. And there's a reason that it's a perennial classic.
Well, after we finish ATO five cycles, we'll get to Spirit Island.
We might take a small interval in Aeon Trespass and squeeze in some Spirit Island as a refreshment. My number six is a bit of an esoteric left field game. And this is a game that I nearly backed on crowdfunding. And I hummed and hawed and hummed and hawed and hummed and hawed and hummed and hawed. And we're talking about probably, I want to say 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, it was on crowdfunding. And it was on crowdfunding, and it was like $200. Now, at the time, this was a little earlier in my gaming evolution. I went, $200? Who's going to pay $200 for a board? $200? Oh, how young and stupid I was. Anyway, I didn't back it. And the only reason I didn't back it is at the time, I found it very hard to get games to the table. I didn't have the bunker. My work schedule wasn't allowing me to get together with the boys every Friday or every second Friday or overly often because I was working sometimes 7 days a week. I had a very high-pressure hospitality job that I loved, but didn't leave me a lot of room. And so if it didn't have a solo mode, I tended not to back games very early on. And if you look at the games that I bought or backed in the first sort of 2 years, almost every one of them has a solo mode or a way to play solo. And so that was one of the main reasons I didn't back this. Now, this game came up. If you are in Australia and you don't follow the Good Games Seconds Auction House on Facebook, you absolutely should follow that because they get stuff that's got a tiny dent in the quarter and it goes to auction and sometimes you pick stuff up for 40, 50, 60% off. This game came up about 2 months ago on an auction and in fact they had two copies on two separate weeks and I missed the first week and I was bound and determined not to miss the second week because it's very hard to find in Australia. You can buy this game from the publisher and pay international shipping if you're really crazy, but this game I love the look of. The aesthetic of it, the production is the most diabolically bonkers I think I've ever seen, and that is my father's work.
I've been looking around the bunker trying to pick what this might be.
So my number six is My Father's Work, and in My Father's Work, they have three distinct scenarios that you play. And My Father's Work is a game where you play the son of a newly deceased mad scientist, and you are carrying his work forward.
His father's work.
It's my father's work. You're carrying forward your father's work. And the components are ridiculous. If you're buying reagents for in the game, or you're collecting reagents in the game for resources, every reagent is a tiny little glass bottle with a cork stopper. It comes with metal coins as standard. The tokens are borderline Eagle Griffin quality. It's app driven, and I think one of the reasons it's probably overlooked a lot is I think app driven games get a bad rap, and I know myself, I tend to stay away from them. Because I have this kind of unconscious bias of, well, how long is the app going to be available for? How long am I going to be able to play this game before they go, yeah, screw you, we're closing the app down? Probably a long time, because it doesn't cost much to keep apps running once they're out. But when you talk about things like Mansions of Madness and that sort of thing, which is also a great game, very heavily app-driven, very thematic, very immersive. My father's work, when you look at the board, which I think from memory is like flip books, and you're going through chapter by chapter, it's deeply thematic, deeply immersive. It's asymmetrical in that you're playing different... I mean, all these mad scientists have carked it all at once, and we're all together trying to cobble our Frankensteins together, and you're digging body parts up from the graveyard, and you're mixing them with Eye of Newt and whatever you can conjure up. It is a beautiful-looking game. There's three distinct scenarios, so it's on my list. The plan is to play all three scenarios in 2025. I don't know how realistic that is, because anecdotally, my father's work is about a four-hour game, so you really are writing off half your day. But my father's work, that's my number six. Oh, well, hang on, we're going to take a break and go to our sponsors. Aha, lol, we don't have any sponsors. If you'd like to sponsor One Man Clapping, it will cost you the almighty price of some free games. Reach out to us. We'd love to have a sponsor. We don't currently have a sponsor. Now back to the show.
After that brief interlude, number five for me is ISS Vanguard.
ISS Vanguard solo or with other peeps?
With solo.
Solo, excellent. All right, tell me more.
The reason I'm keen to play this, because I've been playing Tainted Grail, which I borrowed off you.
Yes.
And I'm very slowly getting through that. When I say very slowly, I finished two chapters out of 24,
something like that, yep.
So, as keen as I am to play this, I know I've got to get through 22 other chapters of... Obtain a Grail, yep, before I return this to you and then say, hey, can I borrow ISS Vanguard?
You can. It's sitting right there. And ISS Vanguard, I don't own all the deluxe stuff. I've got the base one where the standees are great. The production on ISS Vanguard is great. I played some scenarios four-handed. There's a lot in your decision space, but there's not a lot in... You can play four-handed. You know, I think my sweet spot was three-handed for scenarios going in. Because unlike something like a pandemic, for example, when you add another player, it ramps up the escalation. It doesn't necessarily ramp up the escalation in ISS Vanguard, but what it does is it chews through your food faster. So you get the same amount of food, supplies they're called, no matter how many you're taking. So the more you take, the faster you go through those. However, without spoilers, in ISS Vanguard, if you're on a certain exploration space, there's a huge benefit to having two different characters there, because the characters have completely different dice with different symbology on them, and you sometimes need symbology from both those characters to pass the checks. Because if you're in the same spot, you can loan your dice from one character to another to pass the checks. ISS Vanguard is great. It is a great game. I loved it. The story was amazing. I think it's a great pick. And to be honest, I actually think a lot of these games really are better solo. You know, you're not, I won't use the word fighting, but you're not debating with someone over what should we do, and you don't feel bad making a decision like, oh, did Hammers really want to go and hammer away at that rock? I decided I wanted to stab this jelly blobber. You don't have to worry about it. You make your own decisions. I played Tanagril solo. You clappers know it. Sat on my table for, I think, 24 sessions straight. And I think I played the entire campaign in about 6.5 weeks. And I would literally play it 3-4 nights a week. I ate it up. I think that's a great pick.
I think playing them solo as well, you can also table them when you want to table them.
Correct.
You don't need to work around everyone else.
And if you've got a spot, you can leave it like in the garage or the bunker. You can just go, right, I'm pausing there. I'll be back tomorrow. You don't have to sweep it away and pack it up, because that's the one thing I will say is packing these things up in between scenarios is an absolute bear.
I do think Battleships, though, has requested to borrow previous
to me. He has. But
so he might get in first.
If he gets in first, I think, you know, he'll get through it by the time you get through Tanagril, and you guys can just do a hard swap, and then they'll come back, and then I'll probably play Tanagril again, because it's the kind of game that actually, when I finished it, I could have set it up with the other two characters and started again right away, because every decision you make carves out half the game. And that's one of the things that I thought was so fantastic about the narrative on it, is that everything I made, every decision I made, I could see myself walking away from half the game, and every decision you're like, oh, what am I missing? But the narration on it and the story as it unfolds is so, so good. Great pick. My number five, we're in the top half now, Clappers. My number five is a game. Oh, it's a game I played, and the first time I played it, this is a game that Super Trooper sent me a message. He goes, hey, gaming on Friday, what do you want to play? And I said, this is what I play. I really want to play this game. He went, yep, no problem. So I rocked up to his place, and he was setting it out on the table, and it was in a humongous box. It's just, this box was like the TARDIS. Like, there was stuff coming out of it for half an hour. And every time he pulled something out, I go, what's that? He goes, that's for an expansion. And he pulls something else out, and I go, what's that? He goes, that's for an expansion. And by the time I got to, like, the fifth box, and the answer was, that's an expansion, I said to him, well, are we going to play with any of these? And he just looked at me, and he went, no. No, we're not. We're not playing with any of these. And I'm, all right, soft, but okay. So we put on the table. I have talked about this game before. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to bury the lead any further. That is Anachrony. Now, Anachrony is an amazing game. I've only actually played it once multiplayer. That one game we played in Super Troopers. I've played it, I think, nine or so times solo. Because the solo on Anachrony for a David Turksey solo, and Mr. Turksey, I am your biggest fangirl. I love your work. But sometimes your solos, oh my God, sometimes they just make me want to beat my head against the wall in the bunker. And I won't do that, because the walls, depending on which wall you choose, can be quite flimsy, and I'm going to damage this beautiful space. But some of your solos, the solo for Anachrony is a masterwork of solo. However, the Fractures of Time is where I'm putting the asterisk on this for 2025. I want to play Anachrony with the Fractures of Time expansion. Because I played it solo, but we've not played it. And I don't think you've played Fractures of Time.
I've not played it with Fractures of Time.
Yeah, Fractures of Time. So Fractures of Time gives you a blink ability, which is the ability to basically teleport from one part of the board to another. So once all of your big stompy mechs are out on the board, you don't have to call them back. You can actually blink them to another space and eke out your turn just a little bit, so long as the space is empty. And if the space is empty, and it also adds, there's this... Valley of Death or whatever it is. I can't remember what it's called. It's a space where time travel is ineffective due to some sort of global signals.
You mean the bank loans are ineffective?
there's a space on the side of the board where you can blink in and out of, and it adds other choices, but you can only blink there. You can't go there. And so blinking costs you a very special resource, which is finite. Fractures of Time is amazing. I played Anachrony multiplayer once. I think I played it four times solo with the base game, and I went, let's try this Fractures of Time. I don't think I ever want to play it without Fractures of Time again. And so my number five for next year is Anachrony with the Fractures of Time.
I thought it might have been a little bit higher with how much you've been talking about it recently.
Well, it's like subliminal advertising. Every time we get together, I'm like, hey, I'd really love to play Anachrony with Fractures of Time.
I reckon this will get played 2024.
Do you reckon?
I reckon it will, because of how keen you've been for it.
I don't know. Well, we do have 3 weeks off at the end of the year, so it's entirely possible. And so that's my number five. Back to you, Super Trooper. Number four.
Number four is one of the few games that neither of us own. And it is one of the few games that I am waiting for crowdfunding
wise. Oh, okay. Let's play a game.
Go ahead.
Waiting for crowdfunding. Neither of us own. It is...
It's going to be awkward if you get it wrong.
DC United.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I own Marvel United. So I know. Same, but
yeah, different. But you know I'm a DC baby.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
This is a brand new game.
Yeah.
It's already out, but this was the reprint, and that is Scarface 1920.
Oh, of course, Scarface 1920. I ask you about this every 3 months. Only has Scarface arrived yet?
No. It's crowdfunding, so it's got the usual six-month delay.
But I do ask every 3 months.
Correct. And every 3 months is like, no, it'll be by the end of the year, but now Chinese New Year comes every few months, so, you know. Gets delayed.
Go get fat joy to our Chinese friends. So when does it do?
I think the update was March. Ugh. But, you know, we might get it February.
My birthday's in March. We'll call it a birthday.
Happy
play.
Happy birthday. But I think like Battlestar, this is going to be a bit of an event game. Like Hegemony as well.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be big and maybe not long, not too long, but I think a little bit in depth to learn. So it could be a little bit of an event game.
I love gangster stuff. I love Prohibition era stuff. Boardwalk Empire is one of my top 10 shows of all time. And that's one of the reasons I was an Instaback for Speakeasy. Not because it's my boy, you know, Vitello Cerda, but I love Prohibition era stuff. And I'm very excited to see Scarface 1920 come to the table. I don't even care if it's a mediocre game. You know, I want to get out there with Tommy guns and stripy pants. And just
I think the theme and components definitely sell it.
100%. Was it top game. Components of 2022 by the Dice Tower or something?
Quite possibly, I do recall that.
I think
it
was best production. I think Dice Tower gave it their best production of the year, the first year it came out from memory.
It's got all the game trays holding everything and all the nice colourful miniatures. So yeah, looking good.
Good call. So that was your number four.
Correct.
My number four for the Token Aspirations. Now this is a game... This is really interesting. This is a game that I bought a long time ago. It was actually one of the first games I bought, totally ignoring the recommendations of my friends. It's not that my friends recommended against it, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's not what you think it is when you buy it. Now, this game I love. It is, I'll give you a hint, it is a Stonemaier game. And I do like most of Stonemaier's output. And this is a game that is... And I'm going to be honest, I've played this 10 times more solo than I have with other people. Lou has played a number of games with me. And this is the campaign that goes with that game. This is Scythe, the Rise of Fenris. I love Scythe. I think Scythe is fantastic. It's not everyone's cup of tea. I love the board presence. I love the production quality. I love the event cards and the flavor text in them. The mechs are fine, you know, they're not the mechs, they're not the, the expeditions mechs, the expedition mechs are a thing of beauty. The mechs are fine, the player pieces are mostly wood, they're fine, but I love the Cold War nature of Scythe, and Lou and I have played the first two sessions of Rise of Fenris, which I think from memory is 9 sessions. Despite my... cajoling and begging and threatening and whining and moaning and, you know, dumping cold water on her at 4 in the morning and whatever I've been trying to do, I don't think I'm going to get her back to the table. So I'm going to have to either reset that and play it solo through, which you can do. You probably want to play with 2 Otomas, which I can do. I played Scythe with 2 Otomas. Or drag my poor friends to the table who are going to be so sick of mini campaigns after we've played 4 rounds of the Blighted Reach for arcs and say we're playing Scythe, the Rise of Fenris. Whether I get it done or not in 2025, I only played the first 2 scenarios. It is a completely... It's not that it's a different game, but it layers on this Cold War hyper, I guess, almost negotiation aspect against a foreign invader. And what I love about Scythe is the asymmetry of the factions. I have almost everything for Scythe. I don't have the big box. I don't want the big box because, to be honest, it looks like it's a nightmare to get stuff in and out of. But Scythe, the Rise of Fenris is on my list. It was on my list to finish with Lou this year, and it's November, and we've not got one game in yet. So I'm going to call that a fail, but Scythe the Rise of Fenris is on my 2025 token aspirations.
I think Battleships is a huge fan. He's played the whole campaign, I believe.
Has he?
So I think he'd be very keen to play it again.
I will with tap us. BS. Rise of Fenris.
And I do have Coop's big box full of everything sitting in the garage at home.
So. Yeah, I know. I have everything in two boxes, I think. I don't have the big box, so... Over to you. We're into the nitty-gritty of it. We're into top three now, and I'm really interested to see where we are now. So over to top number three.
Number three is a game that I've had sitting in my shelf of shame, shelf of opportunity. What do you call it? Shelf of...
Shelf of first.
Shelf of first. It's been sitting there for quite a while.
How long? Have a guess. How long?
At least 2 years.
Okay.
Unplayed.
Yeah.
Punched. Sorted.
Yep.
Expansions in the box.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Expansions.
Unpainted.
Unpainted. Ooh. Unpainted. Unpainted.
But it's a Euro.
An unpainted Euro.
Unpainted, an old Euro.
I can't even.
Starts with a T, but doesn't sound like it.
Oh, Zolkin?
It's Zolkin.
Ah, all right.
So that's been sitting there for a while.
I know nothing about Zolkin, other than it's one of the T's with Trismegistus, which is getting a reprint. And what's the one I love?
Teotihuacan.
No, the one I love. I like Teotihuacan. The one with the Tekenu. Big old Tekenu. I love Tekenu. Yeah.
But yeah, I've got Zolkin's in there with it's got the gears that go around, you put the worker placement on, and then when they come off in a few turns, you get the benefit then.
Yeah.
But you know, so many other midweight Euros we've got lying around.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zolkin's one, I keep seeing it there on the shelf and really keen to give it a go.
And the minis need painting, you reckon?
No, it doesn't have minis.
Oh,
it's maple. But the gears.
Oh,
the gears are plastic.
What gets painted? You said it's unpainted. Oh, the gears get plastic painted. Gears. Oh.
Go on BGG and look at people's painted gears for Zolkin and okay. You realize it's unplayable unless they're painted.
All right. So my number three is a game that I've played two or three times at two player. I have played it a ton solo and it plays way better solo than it does at two player. And so this is a game that I actually think it's easily a top 10 contender for me. A contender because... In 2025, I want to play with four or five players at least a couple of times. This is a Cole Whirly game, and it's a game that thematically I think is an absolute masterpiece in the way the cards come out and the flavor text on the cards and what the cards actually do for play. It is not a very big box, and you play on this little piece of cloth with a bunch of ceramic chonky bricks, and that is Pax Pamir. Now, Pax Pamir... You and I played two-player.
We have indeed.
It was fine at two-player.
I think that's probably a very good description.
Yeah.
It left me wanting more.
Yeah.
And to play it at four players.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the feedback at two players is you need to throw Wakan, which is the dummy in, because Wakan simulates...
Or you just find another player.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You're all about the solutions tonight. Well done. Yes. So my number three for 2025 is I want to play Pax Pamir at four or five. Pax Pamir ends at 8 points. It's an 8-point game. And as I said, the games I've played solo are spectacular because the bot simulates all the other factions that you would be playing against. And so that's for me. Pax Pamir, I actually think has the potential to be, as I said, top 10 contender. I don't know if it'll hit top 10, but top 10 contender. We're into number two.
Number two. Same vintage as Zolkin. And again, another one that's probably been about 2 years sitting on the shelf.
Okay.
That's Voyages of Marco Polo.
Okay. So this is one that's interesting. You know, you bring this up every 3-4 months going, hey, maybe we'll play Voyages of Marco Polo. Like, what are we playing tomorrow? We're playing Merv tomorrow. Merv's another one that's...
Which is why that is not on this list.
Uh-huh.
We've got it tabled for tomorrow.
So tell me about Voyages of Marco Polo.
It looks like it's a dice worker placement game. Where it reminds me a little bit of like Cthulhu Wars, the Euro, where everyone's got some crazy power.
Okay.
It seems like a game where everyone's going to be sitting there going, you can do what? You can do what? You can set the dice to any number?
Yeah.
Like, how can that be fair?
Yeah.
But from all everything I've read, it all washes out and, yeah.
And so why balanced. Hasn't it got to the table since, do you think?
Because we've got several hundred games between us.
Excuses.
Number one is more time.
That's the number one for next year, is it? More time? Number two. All right, my number two. My number two is a solo-only game. And this is one that people in solo circles will talk about. And I know that solo gaming is not for everyone. But this game is outstanding with a capital O. This is like 11 out of 10 every day of the week. This game is it's a bit of a war game, it's a bit of an exploration game, but tucked beneath that is a narrative, in that in order to play this game, you've got to build a deck of cards that tell a story that is absolutely unique every time you play. It's almost a little mini choose-your-own-adventure. It's got art by my favorite artist, who we all know is...
I'm looking at his work now. Ian O'Toole.
Ian O'Toole is my favorite artist. Ian O'Toole art, and it's the components are spectacular, and this is Nemo's War. Nemo's War is a game that is... On the box it says, you know, 1 to 2 players, that you can play it multiplayer. I have no idea why you would. It's like Sleeping Gods. You can play it with more people. It's just diluting the decision space. But in Nemo's War, you're traveling around in the Nautilus all over the planet, and you're drawing warships out of the bag. And if you bump into them, you've got to fight them. It's not necessarily a fighting game. It's a survival game, because every choice you make winds down your tracks of resources and ability, like the hull of your boat and your crew and your stamina, whatever. It's a game of attrition. It's not quite Robinson Crusoe. Is that what it is? Robinson Crusoe? Or, you know, Robinson Crusoe?
Yeah, no,
or Frostpunk. It's not like that. It's not a punish, because you've got a lot of push-pull and there are ways to repair your hull and stuff. But it's immersive. It's about a 4-hour game. And the problem with Nemo's War, and it's only a problem in that because it's on this list, I have not played it in quite some time, is that to go back to it, the relearn is like half a day. You know, to go back and go, I haven't played Nemo's War, I need to learn how to play Nemo's War all over again from the beginning. There's some exceptional videos out there. The rulebook's not terrible. It's not Mage Knight, but it is a grind to learn. But once you learn it, oh man, it is such a good game. And it's one of those that, if you're a solo gamer, if you like to play with yourself like I do, Nemo's War is outstanding. And so my number 2 for 2025 is I'm going to get Nemo's War back on the table, and I'm going to play it often enough that I don't have to relearn it every time I play it, because it is so good.
The problem I have with Nemo's War is I can't think about it without thinking about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
There's no problem with that.
Sean Connery. That's
with him, who played the big ugly... It was a terrible movie.
But Captain Nemo, and he's got that big fancy car.
He did. Yeah.
Not very submarine-like for him.
It's so we are now at your number one that you want to get to the table.
So number one, I think, is also, between the two of us, the oldest game on the list. Not the oldest I've owned, as yep. I believe it only came into my collection last year from memory.
Okay.
It was a gift from you.
Okay.
And this is Hansa Teutonica.
Uh-huh.
Yes, uh-huh. It's been sitting there unplayed, and I think one of the reasons that's been unplayed is I think you and I would play it quite easily at 2.
Yeah.
But I think we want at least 4
yeah.
to play that.
Yeah.
I have seen it mentioned on the Board Game Barbecue Discord with our good friend Tapio.
Oh, yes.
Who it appears that it's his favourite game.
Oh, good.
And he's so offered to teach us at PlayCon.
He can teach us how to lose.
Yes. So I think PlayCon...
Shout out to Tapio, but yeah.
I think PlayCon 2024...
We would lose by 7 points.
Yes, he'll tell us exactly what the outcome of the game will be. But I'm hoping we can play it before PlayCon, but if not, I'm going to take it with me to PlayCon 2025 to play with Tapio.
Nice. You know I'm in. Well, my number one is...
Oh, wait. I'm going to interrupt here. I've got it written down.
Oh, what my number one is?
Yes, but you've already mentioned it, so I don't think... I think I've now...
What did you think my number one was going
to
be?
I'll hand you the envelope
right.
to open
so
up.
So Super Drew was handing me an envelope. He made a call as to what he thought my number one was going to be. Ark's Campaign. I'll tell you why Ark's Campaign isn't on this list. It is not the Ark's Campaign.
I was wrong.
Because you motherfuckers are playing the Ark's Campaign whether you want to or not. And I don't use that word in this podcast very often. But my friends are going to play the Ark's Campaign if I have to lock the bunker and hide the key and refuse to make dinner until they play the bloody Ark's Campaign.
But then that sounds like it should be your number one.
I'll tell you, the other reason is, my intent is, anyone going to PlayCon this coming year in July, here's a shout out to our friends at the Borgia Barbecue, July 11 to 13 at the Hurstville, whatever it is.
The club.
Tickets are still on sale. Get your tickets or you're going to miss out and be a loser. I'm hoping to set up the Ark's Campaign, the Blood Reach Campaign on PlayCon, playing one, because it's a 3-game campaign, one game every day at the start of the day. And I'm sure between the 500 people there, I could find 3 other people that are willing to do that with me if my friends aren't willing to.
So does this count as 1.5?
So my number one game is the only game on the list, on my list, that I don't own. It's a crowdfunding game that's coming next year. And it's my number one game because I have watched a number of videos and I just am dying to play this game. I think it has so many interesting little levers in it. And it's a game by new designers. This is their first game to crowdfunding, the first game they've ever put out. And friend of the pod, Paul Grogan, has said if this game was coming out this year, it would have been his number one game of 2024. And the only reason it's not his number one game is it's technically not being released till next year. And that is Galactic Cruise.
Yes.
I am so excited to play Galactic Cruise. There are so many really interesting levers in this game. It is Eagle Griffin level production. It's got all the
chunky bits. Same size box.
Same size box. And just the way that you manipulate your presence on the board and are able to access different parts of the board, it's really clever. It's really clever. And to be honest, when this first came out on crowdfunding, I looked at it and I went, meh, Galactic Cruise, like the theme just didn't like, okay, it's a Euro. You can put any theme on a Euro. You really can. You can go, hey, in this Euro, we're plucking ingrown hairs. And who can pluck the most ingrown hairs? You know, and the best ingrown hair plucking. And who leaves the least... I don't know.
I'd back that.
Yeah. I know the Foxwood. My wife fucking loves that shit. Galactic Cruise, the theme didn't grab me up front. But the way they engaged with the public through their crowdfunding campaign, which has kind of become a little bit of the norm in the last sort of 2 years, where they allow the public to weigh in and vote on the direction of the campaign in meaningful ways, not just... hey, what color do you want this tile to be? Like, how do you want us to twist this, the actions of this component? And they just incorporated it all. And Paul Grogan spent the whole time at Essen teaching it to other people. That's how much he loves this game. And it's not that I'm all in because PG's in, but I really love the look of this game. And it's the only game on my list that is a most anticipated of 2020, whatever it is. It's coming in February. So it's not like it's even coming late in the year. I am very excited, and it is my number one, and it's the only one that kind of broke my cardinal rule for this is of, you know, games that I know are going to get played anyway, you know, because I know Galactic Cruise, you know, in our group, the cult of the new is a real thing. Something new comes in, we're like, woo, let's play that. Darwin's Journey is a great example. You got that 6 weeks ago, we played it twice, or 8 weeks ago, we played it twice. You know, and I know Undaunted Callisto will get played, and I know that... games that come in, I've got one of only three copies of Daitoshi in all of Australia, so I know that's going to get played before Christmas. They're not on the list. I put Galactic Cruise there because it is my number one that I'm dying to play. I'm not saying it's going to be one of my top 10 games, but it's the one that I'm dying to play. And that, yeah, go.
If I had looked at your BGG, I probably would have put that in the envelope. I completely forgot about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's in my pre-order section on BGG, so it's not rated, obviously, and that sort of stuff, but it is what it is. So that is our top 10 token aspirations and shelfie goals for 2025. Now, as a little bit of dessert, we're going to cover The Fat Man Cometh. It is Christmas in T-minus 27 days. And so I thought it would be interesting and fun if Super Trooper and I put our list of top three games that we would love Santa to bring us this year. Oh, Santa, please be listening to my beautiful little podcast, because there are some things on here that I would love to see. So, and these could be anything. We said these could be anything. These could be games that you played as a child that you can't find, out-of-print games, games that are just too expensive, games that you would never buy, whatever. And I have made a prediction on what I think Super Troopers 3 games will be.
Oh, interesting.
I've made a prediction on all three games.
All three. I think you'll get one.
Do you?
And I think you have absolutely no idea on the other two.
All right, well, we'll see. Probably not, because Super Trooper loves a lot of games, and he has a lot of games, and, we, you know, as you know, you'll see our tastes diverge a bit. We play everything, but our tastes diverge a bit. So we are top three. Santa, please. Oh, Santa, please. Over to you for your number three on your Fat Man list.
Number three is a callback to my top 10.
Okay.
Of games I want to play in 2025.
Okay.
And it's linking back to the dual games, number nine.
Yep.
And it is one that I can't justify the purchase myself.
Uh-huh.
And I also can't justify the little brackets I have at the end of this, because I don't think it's even in production anymore.
Okay.
It'd have to be a secondhand market, and you might need to take a mortgage to afford it. And that is War of the Ring, The Super Duper Deluxe Edition comes in a wooden box.
It's like number 9 on BGG, isn't it, of all time? Yeah.
It's like a wooden box, painted miniatures. Yeah. I mean, the normal version looks pretty good as well, but this was like a one-off print run or something they did, and I don't know how much it cost, however many years ago it came out, but super expensive, but looks super gorgeous, and I cannot justify the purchase for myself.
Well, that's what Santa's for. If you're listening, Santa, it'll fit in the sack. It'll fit down the chimney.
I don't think it'll fit in the sack.
He's got a magic bag. Everything fits.
He'll need
in
two sleighs, I think.
Two sleighs. Interesting, because my number 3 game is similarly themed, in that it's a game that I don't even know if it's a very good game. You know, and that like people love it. I don't know that in the games that I love to play in that if I would get to the end of it and go, oh, it's so good, but I wants it. Okay, and this is a game that...
Callback to War of the Ring.
Callback, yeah. And so, I think 3 years ago, I found a new copy, for $280. And again, I went, $280? Who would pay $280 for a board game?
What's that big white box behind you, James?
Yeah, don't look around the bunker. There's $280 on half a Calyx shelf. And then I remember going, oh, I can't justify that. That's crazy. And then I looked a year later, and it was like $490. Because, of course, this game is out of print. It's out of print. And it's an action programming game. It's probably one of the most overproduced games of all time. And that's Mechs vs. Minions. And I just... those little freaking mechs and minions that are all painted. And it's like 9 scenarios. They're all sealed in little envelopes. And I don't even think it's that complicated a game. I just think it'd be so fun. And you literally, even when you could find it, I couldn't justify the price. If it was like an ATO or, you know, $500 is a lot of game. You know, I look around the room and I'm like, ATO was more, and Trespass was more than that. I don't think I have a $500 board game other than ATO. Because that's a lot of board games.
It's a lot of games.
You know, like if I look at, for example, Undaunted Callisto, which just arrived, which has exceptional solo scenarios. That's going to give me 50 hours of gameplay for $106 or whatever it was. Oh, Santa, can you just find me a copy of Mechs vs. Minions, leave it under the tree? That'd be so nice.
I don't think it was ever sold in Australia.
No, however...
it was direct from the publisher.
Riot's international shipping was totally reasonable. It was like $40.
Yeah, but the game was $290.
Well, yeah. Well, no, actually, Riot sold out. This was somebody who was selling it through Amazon. So it was free shipping. But Riot's direct shipping was not... I think if you bought the game in its... because they release like Wave 4, Wave 5, they may re-release it. I think it's only like $120. I say only, it's $180. But these days, $180 for a chunky game in Australia. Those of you that have the pleasure of living in the US. And what did I see? Some mofo bought River Valley Glassworks for $15 the other day at Target. I'm like, screw you. You have Trump, so whatevs. It's not worth it. $180 in Australia for a game. Like, it's... on the upper end, but it's not, especially if you're getting shipping on something and it's not on shore, $180, like I can look around the room and go, well, Wonderland's War and Arcs and Voidfall, I mean, it's not out of the question, is it, really?
But is the game worth that much?
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing, you know, and we talk about that a lot on OMCs, is the game worth that? And if it's worth it to you, well, then that's the answer. So that was it. Mechs vs. Minions was number 3 for me.
Number 2, I'm not sure if you've even heard of it, unless I've mentioned it to you in passing, and that is Mega Empires.
Okay, no, I'm striking
Never
out.
Heard
I'm,
of it.
I'm 0 for 2 so far. Mega Empires, tell me more.
I think, so if I'm wrong about games, I've mentioned it in passing. It's a remake of Civilization, but like the 80s or 90s version.
Yep.
So it comes in 2 giant boxes called Western Empires and Eastern Empires.
Okay.
And you can, each one of those plays 9 players. And you can put them together and play 18 players.
Where would you play 18 players in a board game?
We can maybe get 6 or 7 to a table.
You need the double-decker couch from the Lego Movie. Yes.
Everything
so
is awesome. But yeah, we haven't even got 6 together for Sidereal. But
no.
I'm sure, again, another event game.
So
very
tell me about
aspirational.
The game. I don't know anything about the game.
It's a civilization game. Uh-huh. So obviously you got the western half of the Mediterranean and the eastern going into the Middle East. And
it's a war
India.
Game?
It's a civilization game.
Okay, right. So
I think the combat is deterministic, a bit like Voidfall.
Yeah.
And there's trading, where you're trading resources around.
Okay.
But the hook that, I think Shut Up and Sit Down done a review of it, the hook in the trading is you can trade... So say, you know, I'm going to trade bread, and you trade them three cards. One of those has to be bread, but you could put a volcanic eruption in that as well, and you trade it off.
Okay, but you don't know what you're getting in exchange.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if you,
you
then,
could get
but if you
plague.
Receive the volcanic eruption, you don't want to say, oh no, what the volcanic eruption. You go, thank you very much for that bread. And then you trade something to someone
so it's
else.
Scout. It's basically scout.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then eventually, once all the trading's done, you go, okay, everyone reveal. And if you have these things, well, then the badness happens.
And why hasn't it been under the tree in previous years? I'm curious. Is it
oh,
like,
it's expensive. Is it okay? And I think you want like minimum six players to enjoy a
and
session
that's tough.
Of it.
Getting six people to all of a day off is tough.
Yeah. So let alone 18.
Right. So my number two, and I think this will really surprise you because we've, again, it's not the kind of game or a game that we've ever talked about. And my number two is on this list because it's the kind of game that I would love to play. And a lot like, I'm going to point at Undaunted again, Undaunted 2200. I've never bought an Undaunted game because historical wargaming just doesn't tick it for me. I'll play it.
James, you're a man over 40.
I know, I'm a man
World
over
War
50.
World War II, Smoking Meat, or Ancient Rome.
Or Smoking Meat.
There you go.
One. Yeah. We've got, yeah. And so historical wargames have never done it for me. And as soon as David Thompson threw mechs and the one of the moons of Jupiter in the box, I'm like, happy days.
Possibly Callisto.
Possibly Callisto, as it turns out. So this is a coin game. And I have had no interest in coin games because historical wargaming is not my thing.
But if it's based on The Expanse...
Okay, so...
but not similar.
But yes, but no, right? And so you are absolutely... This is GMT's 12th edition of their coin games, and this is called Red Dust Rebellion. And Red Dust Rebellion is, again, I don't know that it's a game I would buy for myself. Because you can play it solo, but I've heard, you know, Dev on Board Game Barbecue plays coin game solo, and the way he describes it, he loves it. I think Dev must just have that he's just built that way, but the way he describes it sounds like waterboarding to me to play it solo. But to play it three or four player, I think it would be amazing. And you look at the board and it looks interesting. Most coin games, they don't look interesting. You've put The Expanse in the game, you know. As said, you know, it's your built to Lauda. I would love to play Red Dust Rebellion, and I would love it if Santa would bring me Red Dust Rebellion. I'm not sure it's the kind of game that I would invest in myself. So again, Santa, if you're listening, hit me up, big guy. I have been a very good boy this year.
But we can always play Root.
We can play Root. We can. Absolutely. So we are on your number one Santa wish list.
Number one, you said you were going to pick some. You think...
Okay, so I think... Do you want me to call it?
Call it if you think you got
Tigris
it.
Tigris and Euphrates.
Incorrect.
Ah!
Only because it's out of print. I know where
I tell you what I thought the top three would be?
Yep.
I thought it would be Tigris and Euphrates because it's out of print and you would have Rhino Cadencia's baby.
Yep.
I picked that one because it's out of print. I picked one that was an early Kickstarter delivery to come early, and that was DC United.
Oh, yes.
And the last one I picked was Please Santa Fix the Teotihuacan Big Box Insert. Because we can ask for anything. Those are my three picks.
Well, they are fixing it, but not in the way I'd like. And DC United, I've got enough Marvel United to last me well until that arrives. No, I thought you might have picked this one. Because it's aspirational, but slightly less aspirational than the first two.
Okay.
The Great Wall.
Ah, we talk about this all the time. Okay.
Because it's like a worker placement game that costs $300.
Yeah, and is all plastic except for the Great Wall, which comes in cardboard. So tell us what you like about the Great Wall and why, because you keep coming back to it. You keep going, it's on sale, it's on. I was at PAX and I saw a copy of Great Wall was like $70 off. I'm like, oh, it's still $240. I'm not sure I'm going to get that over the line.
Everything I've seen about it looks like it's a fine to good
Euro
worker placement game. With some novel mechanics where you're filling up the worker placement spots.
Yeah.
But, as we just mentioned, everything's miniatures and it's, $200 to $300 for... Yeah. Other games that do the same thing for $60, $70 bucks.
You can get a lot of game for $300.
Correct.
Bucks. Yeah, okay. Well, my number one, Santa, you better be listening, mofo, because this is what I want for Christmas. Okay, and I will leave a kidney out with the cookies and milk. Mine is not a game that's out of reach. Mine is not a game that you can't get. Mine is a game that I want delivered before Christmas. Are you listening? I want it. Before I have been a good boy all year. I have not strangled any of my children. I have not committed any heinous crimes. I drink my Barocca, I eat my fruits and vegetables, I go to bed at a reasonable hour most nights. Santa, I want you to bring me Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era before Christmas, or we're through. Elder Scrolls, oh my god, Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era is based on the Too Many Bones game mechanic. I am all in for this game, and it is on the water. It's on the... Actually, the Australian container is on the water. If you live in Australia and you back games, you know it's only 2 weeks from China to Australia. It is currently, as we are recording, it is November 28th. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but knowing our dear friends at Etherworks, I'm not wildly optimistic.
There's going to be a few other games ahead of it.
Yeah. Stop dashing my dreams. So that is my Fat Man wish, is Elder Scrolls Betrayal of the Second Era before Christmas, because I have 3 weeks off and I can play that solo, I can play it two-handed, I can rope other people into it if they're interested. But yeah, I love me some Chip Theory, and please, 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 Santa, bring me that. Closing remarks? You should have asked for a Teotihuacan big box solution.
Although I said, one's coming, hashtag Folded Space.
Yeah, are you back to the Folded Space one?
To be determined.
To be determined. All right. Well, that concludes our first bonus episode. Thank you, Super Trooper, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And as always, you can reach us on all the socials. You can find us on Facebook by searching One Man Clapping. You can email me at onemanclapping, onmanclapping@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at @OneManClapping. And you can join the absolutely empty and completely meaningless for the immediate future One Man Clapping Guild on BGG. Subscribe to Board Game Guild 4426. And I will keep plying you with empty promises. Thank you, as always, for your time. This week's episode has been brought to you by Day Drinking on Your Day Off. If you do it in a bath, you're not an alcoholic, you're a pirate. Red wine, soothing tensions and saving lives since 2000 BC. Till next time, get your game on, even if you've got to play with yourself. And remember, Santa is coming. If you've been good, I hope he takes care of you. And if you've been naughty, I hope you've been very, very naughty. Peace out, mofos. Dying.